All right, ushers, get those. If you get those papers for me, Brother Pichardo. Okay, we're going to pass these out. We're ready. I just want to go over this before we get started. We do this about the last week and a half before Friend Day. We're going to pass out a little paper here. I want to make sure that we're ready for Friend Day. We have a lot of people here. So ushers are going to pass out a little handout. Are we doing that? Okay. Got one person doing it? You don't pay much. You don't get much. Pray for us. It's the best we can do. We had to drag these guys out somewhere. So most of them were on parole. So trying to help them, just trying to be a blessing. Okay. By the way, we're at like six, I think we're about over 660 Friend Day contracts signed up. That's 660 people invited. That's good. But we have a week and a half more. Be nice to get to that 800 number. So keep inviting people. They are everywhere. And then we'll go over this. I'll just go over this for you. A couple things. Two things. We want to be ready and be preparing before Friend Day. Before Friend Day. Continue to invite people. God will bring you in contact with people in the next week and a half that you can invite for Friend Day. Always have some Friend Day, right here, cards with you, okay? And I have these with me all the time. I hand them out. If you're a bus worker, this would be a good time to invite the parents to be here on that day. And then start praying for your friends. We passed out an inventory sheet. We passed out a little book card. And I have all my friends written on that book card. It's actually full. And I just pray over that and ask for God to make sure that they're here on that Sunday and he does something in their life. And then you want to start reminding them. Several people are like, hey, just text me a reminder. And so make sure you text a reminder. Let them know to meet you here and where to meet you. And then on Friend Day, are you ready? This is important. Pray, of course, for God to use Friend Day to help people. Be extra friendly. Hate to have a Friend Day and then people come here and we're not friendly to them, okay? Smile. Just say hello. Greet them. If someone walking around you don't recognize and they look clueless, they're new, okay? Can I help you? You know, if they come early, who's your friend? And then try to get them directed to the Sunday school class where their friend would be. They're coming into the service. Help them find a seat. Let's not do this on Friend Day, okay? I know we come in here sometimes and we save 1,000 seats on Sunday morning and then you don't use half of them. Let's let our friends have some seats. We're going to put all the seats in here. The children are going to have a junior church, so they won't be in here, the older ones. And then the teenagers, they also won't be in here. And so we'll have them out. So we'll have some extra room and we'll have extra chairs. So let's make sure that we help our friends. Give them the best seats. By the way, the best seats are not the seats in the front row. Yeah. New people don't like seats on the front row, okay? They come to church, it's like they don't know what to expect. So they're looking at the back door and they're holding on to their wallet. Yeah. And so let's make sure that we let them have the best seats towards the back. Parking. Save parking spots for our friends by parking at Blue Line and using the shuttle. We'll run a bus that day. You won't have to wait. The Blue Line is out here on Pacific Place. This side of Wardlow. Park there. We'll have a bus running shuttle. Say, well, that's okay. I won't park in the parking lot. I'll park on 33rd or I'll park in Magnolia. We need every single space for visitors. We're going to pull the buses out. We'll have them park down the street. We're going to run our bus ministry on Saturday. And so there'll be parking spots there. But if all the church members come and take the parking, visitors aren't going to stay. They're not going to shuttle. And so just think of it as an exciting bus ride. It's one block. You can say, hey, bus driver, speed up a little bit. You can sing, do whatever you want. We'll have a good time. So that's park. I already said that. If in your adult Sunday school class, help by bringing refreshments. If you are in ministry, usher, nursery, Sunday school teacher, be in your place very early on Friend Day. And then we're going to go out for all of our visitors that come on Friend Day. We'll take them a cup on Tuesday night. The adult visitors, so if you can come out that night, help your adult class, go drop a gift off to them, that will be a blessing. We are in the new discipleship book, and I hope you got that. We do sell those for $5. You say, why don't you give them away? They were like $7.50, so we just knocked the price down, and we'll be going through it for a while. I have mine over here. It's different than the other one. We don't have blanks, but we will go through it. There's a place for notes. The first series we went through was more of a, for new people that come to church, and so we understand what we believe. These ones are a little bit different. They touch on different subjects and encourage us, and so I encourage you to get that. all the adults and all the teenagers, if you want your children to have one, get one too, and you can follow along. We're going to be in the introduction chapter, which would be page number 1. There you go. That works. That works so nicely. Page number 1, continue on. We'll go through it, and we'll share some things with it tonight. The verses we look at are Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 and 42. It says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. These are the foundational days of the church. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. You know, I've always loved that little word you see throughout the New Testament there. It's the word continue. Continue. I like that. From a spiritual standpoint, it means several things. If we're continuing, it means we don't get stuck at one point. And by the way, as a Christian, you cannot get stuck at one point. When it comes to the Christian life, it's a lifelong pursuit of growth. And if you stop, it's not like anything else. If you stop growing, you don't stay at one part. You actually go downward. It's just the way it works. God wants us to grow. Continuing means that we're continually making progress. And we ought to be making progress in our Christian life. How many of you are perfect? Ryan Rawl, and he's a liar, so he's not perfect. Okay, good. That was a strong. He lied at that particular instance. Your hand raising was fake news, yes. Making progress. We ought to always be going forward. That means we're being faithful to the Lord. When we continue on, that means we haven't stopped doing what we should be doing as Christians. We are being faithful in doing the things we should do. Amen. That means that in one instance, our faith is genuine. See? Things that are dead don't grow. Yeah. Things that are not alive don't grow. And when you were saved, you were born again, you became a spiritual being. And because of that, you grow. Now, there's some people that can fool you for a while. Judas Iscariot fooled everybody except for Jesus for 3 years, but the truth came out because his faith wasn't genuine. It also means that your Christianity is serious. And I hope you take it serious. I hope being a Christian, knowing Jesus, being a part of our church, it's not just something we do on Sundays or Thursdays. You're here Thursdays or Thursdays. I hope it's something that's who you are all the time because you are a Christian. 24 hours a day. In the book of Acts, those that heard the truth of the gospel received Christ as their Savior, who did do that, immediately took the next step of faith and were baptized. After being baptized, they were added to their local group of believers, the church. But that wasn't the end of the matter for them. Now, by the way, sometimes it takes people a while to get to that point, right? This isn't right. It took me 2 years after I got saved until I got baptized. I wasn't going to church. I wasn't living for the Lord. I wasn't growing. But when I came back to church and I decided I was going to be serious in my faith, no one told me. I just knew I needed to be baptized. And I got immediately baptized and I became a member of the church. But that's not the end of it. Well, I have a church and I've been saved and I've been baptized. No, that's just the beginning. I notice how quickly they progress, by the way, through, if you read through the book of Acts, they progress through a lot of our 8 steps that we talked about in the first discipleship book. They progress through them pretty quickly. That was just the beginning for them. They began to take immediate, and here's a good word, intentional steps to grow in their faith. These steps would help them to continue in the faith. How are you going to continue in the faith if you're not practicing it in the first place? Yep. Think about that. Well, God wants us, once we start serving him, to continue doing it, but if we're not seriously serving him, if we're not seriously seeking to grow, how are we going to continue? In that essence, we need to get started. Okay? And so it's vitally, vitally important. We can't just be haphazard in our Christian life. So they continue taking other steps. And that naturally led them to a lifetime of growth. The Bible tells us clearly that they continued. But what areas of their life did they continue in? They continued in very important areas that would ensure that they would grow in the faith and continue to live like a Christian. If you're going to live from God, as we mentioned on Sunday night, you know, it's not living for the God. We talked about it in the context of separation. It's not just a list of do's or don'ts, okay? But there are some very clear steps we must be continually taking in our life if we're going to grow. A very, very simple. It takes very specific steps. And they were specific in their purpose, and they were specific in the plan. Their salvation was not the end of the matter to them. It was the beginning of a lifelong journey of living their Christian life and fulfilling God's will. And the fact of the matter is, let's just be honest with you. Shouldn't that be the norm for a Christian? Yeah. Shouldn't it just be normal that if you're saved, that you're going to go forward and you're going to grow for the Lord? That shouldn't be abnormal. And I'm not here to you know, a fruit inspector to test people's salvation. That's between them and God. Our responsibility is to correctly give them the gospel and encourage them to make that commitment to Christ, that to trust Christ as their Savior. And if they do that, the Spirit of God indwells in them. You say, well, you went 2 years without doing anything for God after I got saved. I know, but God was dealing with me very harshly those 2 years. Yep. You know, I wondered why the stuff I used to do that I got away with, I didn't get away with it anymore. And it almost like ruined me. I'm like, before I could do all this stuff and never any problems, and now I'm getting caught and things aren't going well. What is it? But I knew inside of me, because God was working on me, like, okay, I got to get this thing settled. Now, I was a knucklehead. And it took 2 years, and it wasn't until I dropped out of high school. I told the seniors today, don't take it wrong. That was the best thing I ever did. I mean, I went to Jordan High School. Okay, I was enrolled at Jordan High School. The only classes I went to were the shop classes. The other classes, I hung out with the girls in the library, and then I had two friends that lived right across the street from the school. And so we would just go out there and hang out there all day and do stuff. When I dropped out of high school, I figured, you're not going to kick me out. I quit, okay? I started working, and I was getting away from my friends, and I started getting a little serious, and I was listening to God a little more. It's like, hey, it's time to get busy for the Lord. But I wasted 2 years, but you know what? I knew I was saved. Yeah. It wasn't like I was doing the things I was doing, and it's like, you know, no big deal. It bothered me. Yeah. And God was convicting me of all of that. And if you're saved, that should happen. But it ought to be a little more norm that when a person gets saved, that they do genuinely follow the Lord. Their salvation was not the end. Because of everything that goes on around us in our society and all the opportunities we have to be involved in a variety of things, it is easy to see Christianity as something we just add to what we're doing, as opposed to seeing it as who we are and what we do. You understand that? It's like, well, you know, I work here, I live here, I do that, I go to church here, I'm a Christian. It's like we just add all the pieces in, right? That's just another piece of the pie. It's just a bumper sticker on the back of the car. By the way, that's why we don't give you I Love Pacific Baptist bumper stickers. I've seen you drive. We had an activity one time, and I'm not going to call his name out, but Oscar was driving. And we were coming back for the traffic circle, and Oscar thought it would be great just to go around the traffic circle 4 times. 3 different times, I heard other cars honking at us. And I thought, what a horrible testimony. Then we got back, and I looked, and we had the Spanish bus. It said, Iglesia Bautista Pacifico. I'm like, well, great. They don't even know who we are if you don't speak Spanish. What's the point of the matter? I don't want Oscar driving anymore. And by the way, that was after we ate dinner at Greenfield's all-you-can-eat meat, all right? So I heard people whining in the back, but it's like, get over it. Anyhow, that has nothing to do with anything. It's one thing to get off to a great start, but it is quite another to keep going and finish the journey, right? How many they tell us a huge percentage of people that start new businesses, they fail within the first year. How many college students never fail? I don't know about you. I went to a huge Bible college, several thousand, and the freshman class was huge. And the sophomore class was smaller. And the junior class was smaller, and the senior class was even smaller. That's just the nature of things. People are used to starting things and not finishing. Think of a project at your house you've started and never completed. I mean, I've done that. Our old house, we took the wall heater off and it was an open wall. It's like, we'll get that fixed. And like 3 years later, I'm like, I'm still looking at that thing. I'm like, just get this thing. So Ryan was trying to date my daughter. So I'm like, hey, Ryan. So I think he did it. What happened? Look, we have to be faithful and finish this thing out. Now let me ask you this. Let's make it practical, can we? Let's meddle. And this is for all of us. How many of us have started spiritual endeavors and we've abandoned them halfway through? You really want me to meddle? And I'm doing this nicely. Every year we tell you, hey, January 1st, let's read our Bible through in a year. And you know the first part of the Bible is Genesis, right? How many people don't get through Genesis? Or they get through Exodus, and we read the New Testament too. And by the time they get to Leviticus, they found an off-ramp. Okay? And a lot of you have read your Bible through from Genesis to Exodus every year. Okay? Let's finish it. Let's get on that thing, and let's get it done. People say, I'm going to be faithful to four to flourish, and I know we get sick and so forth and so on. And then we find every excuse we can to miss church. Okay? The only good reason to miss church is if you're out of town, and then you go to another church. Yep. You're sick, and then you watch the live stream, and that's the only excuse for watching the live stream. Or you're dead, and we don't want you coming when you're dead. Okay, stay home. At least for a couple weeks to see if you get over it. Most people are great at starting things, but very few have the discipline and training it takes to finish. Many years ago, I read a book on a character. And in the introduction, the author said this. He goes, this is a book about character, having character. He goes, the sad thing is the majority of people that start reading this book won't even have the character it takes to finish. Okay? And I'm like, ouch. And I read about half of it, and I just moved on. He said most, and I don't want to be different, right? That's just a problem. We need to get to where we're faithful. Yeah. God did not save us so that our eternal destiny was settled. Yeah. He has a plan and purpose for our life after we trust Christ. Right. Salvation is not the end. Yep. It's just the beginning. Right. And most people will not continue with the same zeal and love they had at the start. Sometimes we get, I was saved. I was excited. I want all my friends to know, and I wanted everybody to know, and I actually put bumper stickers on my motorcycle and all this stuff, witness for Christ and all that, and I realized there was a lot more to it. But it may not be as new and fresh to me, but it's better than it was before. Right. It's like when you get married, right? Honeymoon phase, Jack and Crystal, Dan and Cassie, they're still sitting next to each other. Who else are we missing? Is there anybody else here? Who? Valerie, Isaac. I mean, oh, they're in love and holding hands and the whole nine yards. All right, I want to see where you're at in 10 years. Now, you may not have that goofy, like, just got back from Hawaii smile. I get all that. But you ought to have a deeper, more abiding love than you had when you were first married. Okay? You may not feel like you've been, electrocuted, but you still have a great, great excitement for it. And if you don't, by the way, come to couples retreat. That's what it's, I mean, that you'll get everything you need right there. All right, that was a free commercial. I didn't put these verses in here, but don't become like the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. He told them, nevertheless, I have some but against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of thy place, except thou repent. He says, look, you've left your first love. In other words, they were still around, but there was nothing inside like before. And by the way, there's people like that. I guarantee you, there's people like that in every church. They're here, they're hanging around, they've not quit coming to church, but they don't have those first things that they used to do. They're not excited, or they quit going soul winning. They're not as involved as a ministry as they used to be. They're not doing some of the things, they're just at church. The things of life slammed into them, and they allowed those things to push them away from doing the things that they were doing before. And their excitement level is gone. That's like a couple that's married, and really they're nothing more than roommates. That's all they are. There's no love there. They never go out together. They never do anything together. There's no activity. There's no sweetness in there. There's no gifts or whatever. All that's gone because, well, you know, it's like, where's the first works? Where's the love? And we do that in our Christian life, and it's very important we don't do that. Yeah. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. This is also not in your book. You can make note of it. And the angel of the Lord of the Laodiceans write, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." It wasn't real to them anymore. It was just, you know, we're just there. It's just a religious exercise with nothing behind it. By the way, that's a really good way to not be able to follow after. You lose that excitement and zeal for the Lord. You lose that relationship you have with Him. You lose that love you had, that excitement you had for the things of God and for Jesus Christ. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. You have started well in the next paragraph there. You finished the first course. We went through that, okay? And that was the basics. So the goal of the lessons we'll have in this book, continue on, is to help you discover and understand some other key areas of faith. This will empower you to continue in your Christian faith from now to the rest of your life. You see, hopefully you've been through the other steps. Hopefully you've been saved. If you're not saved, you need to get that taken care of, because you can't grow if you've not been born. Right? You have to be baptized afterwards. We went through all this. You should be having daily devotions. And for our, we talk about faithfulness to church. Become a member. Become a part of one of our adult Bible classes. We talked about giving and soul winning and serving. These are just the basics. Okay? Now we need to grow in the other things. We need to understand the Bible deeper. We need to understand the doctrines a little bit better. If not, we will not continue on. Now, let's look at a few things here. First of all, we want to continue with a commitment to live. A commitment to live. We want to live the faith. You can't get past it. If we're not living as a Christian, we're not going to continue. Okay? It's bottom line. It's foundational. The verses we're going to look at below show us many areas in our lives where we are to continue on. Scripture also assures us that if we continue on in these areas, we will be a lifelong disciple of Christ. Okay? Discipleship, you know, we've taught on it. It's not a class. No, it's a thing we do, but it's who you are. It's a lifelong pursuit. It's following somebody, and that somebody is Jesus Christ. It's a life you live, a responsibility you accept and fulfill. But as with everything, these areas must be demonstrated in our daily lives. That's where the struggle is. See, we don't mind getting saved and going to heaven. We don't mind believing in Jesus Christ. We don't mind saying the Bible is true. We don't mind all that. Where we have a problem is when we start getting in the Bible, we find out the Bible we said we believed to be true tells us some things that we're supposed to do. That's where we struggle. Well, I thought it was just saying, you know, the Bible, yes, that's the book for me. I know. Get in the book, and it's going to tell you what to do. Okay? We've been talking about separation on Sunday nights. Separation is nothing more than obedience to the Bible. That's all it is. And when you believe it, you will obey it. We have to incorporate Christianity into our daily living. Any belief that does not translate into our behavior is nothing more than head knowledge. Our spiritual beliefs should always translate into spiritual behavior. If you believe the Bible spiritually, then you'll live the Bible spiritually as well. God wants us to move past head knowledge and into the development of spiritual life skills. By the way, that's what Bible wisdom is. Yeah. It's not being smart. And that's thankful, because a lot of us wouldn't qualify. Amen? Yeah. Okay? It's not just knowing the facts of the Bible, who Abraham was married to, who their children were, who lived in what city, who did what. Those are important, don't get me wrong. That helps us to understand the Bible as we're studying it. But can I just tell you something? If that's all you know and you don't understand the practical aspects of the Bible, you're not getting it. And even the stories in the Bible teach us biblical principles. Principles to incorporate into our life. Wisdom is the ability to take the truth of God and to live it and apply it to our life. That's what wisdom is. It's not being smart. It's not IQ. By the way, our society bows at the God of education. And that's not the lesson for tonight, but let me just throw this out. Most of what our colleges are teaching, it's not education. It's indoctrination, it's woke, it's spiritual correctness, and it's make me feel good. Don't tell me, I don't believe in any school that can't figure out that you're either born a male or a female. I tap out. I'm done. Okay? These people, and they're all in my neighborhood too, you know, at this house, you've seen the signs, we believe Black Lives Matter, and I believe they do too, and I believe White Lives Matter, and the Spanish wife, all lives matter. Yeah. And by the way, I was looking at the singing group up here, there was one white kid. My daughter, and she's only half. Listen, I'm the minority in this church. But anyhow, back to the sign. You know, feminism is for everybody. I don't even know what that means. But it's like, I think it says, we believe science is real. I want to go knock on their door and say, do you think someone who's a man can say he's a woman and that makes him a woman? And they say, yeah. It's like, take that off the sign. Because that's not even common sense. By the way, only women can have babies. Anyhow, why is that controversial? But that's where we send our kids to school. Anyhow, God wants us to take the... let's get back to the Bible, shall we? That is Bible, by the way. God made them male and female. God wants us to take the resources in his word and make them a daily part of our life. That's it. That's wisdom. So we're supposed to make commitments to live. To live what? Ready? Let me give you some. The first one is his word. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Now, I personally don't believe that you are automatically a disciple because you got saved. Some do. I believe when you got saved, you became a Christian. But you have to make a commitment to be a disciple. Because a disciple says, I'm not going to just be saved and go to heaven. I'm going to learn about the faith. I'm going to live the faith. And I'm going to make it a part of my life. A disciple is one who follows another. We're following Jesus Christ. And that is something we need to choose to do. And he says, here's one way you do it. Continue in my word. Continuing the word is more than just hearing it taught or preached, which thank you for being here. And thank you for being in the services. That's part of it. It's talking about a daily time in God's word. Some of you, and I don't say this to be mean-spirited, okay? So understand what I'm saying. Some of you in here, I'm sure in a group this size, you can't continue in God's word because you're not being faithful to it right now. You have to be continue. How can you continue in something in which you're not faithful to right now? Okay? That's vitally important. You know, as people, and I haven't heard in a long time, but, you know, years ago I heard someone, well, you know, I'm not being fed. Well, it's like, okay, well, what do you want me to do? Come to your house and read the Bible to you? You're supposed to feed yourself. Okay? And by the way, we don't come to church and say, yeah, we're not going to use the Bible. We're not for the Bible. Yeah, you're right. No. But we have to get in the Bible. It's vital. If you haven't got that nailed down, I told our seniors, I meet with them once a month and buy them lunch. That's how I guarantee that they'll show up. And I'm like, look, you can go to our school. You can get 4.0. You can be summa cum laude or how cummy, whatever it is. You can do all of that. You can win championships. You can do all that stuff. But if you graduate from our high school and you didn't learn about walking with God, you didn't practice it, it's you didn't get it.
Yeah.
By the way, you can graduate from our college. 4.0, 5.0, 6.0, whatever you want. But if you don't learn to spend time with God, you didn't get it.
Yeah.
You didn't get it. That's the most important. If you're going to be a disciple, he says you have to continue in his word. To the degree that you are faithful to the word of God is to the degree that you will be a successful disciple. If not, you're just a hanger on. By the way, Jesus had hangers on, did he not?
Yeah.
Read John chapter 6. They all bolted. He got a little rough and they all left, and he looked at his disciples and said, are you guys leaving too? I'm paraphrasing. Will you also go away? And they're like, we have nowhere to go. We're with you. We're in. Okay, you know why? They were just hangers on. They weren't serious. Let's be serious about our faith. You have to continue in his word. Next, his love. Oh, this one will be nice, Brother Myers. I love this one. So do I. John 15:9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. That's pretty intense. Continue ye in my love. Now, what is meant by continuing in his love? Well, I should have put the verses in the book, and when we amend it, we will. You have to read verse 10 and 11 of the same chapter, the next verses, to find out what it means to continue in his love. Verse 10 says, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. He says, hey, continue in my love or abide in my love. He goes, you want to abide in my love? If you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. Then he says, these things have I spoken unto you. About what? Continuing in his love, keeping his commandments. That your joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. We continue in his love by obeying his commands.
Yep.
Now, I don't understand. It's humorous to me how modern Christianity has detached those two. Like anything that speaks of encouraging people to obey God's word, it's like, I'm not into that, man. I'm into God's love. Okay, I'm into God's love too. It's like, no, yeah, we hate people here, so. If you love me, Jesus said, what? Keep my commandments. Do you know God's commandments to us are an expression of his love for us? Think about that.
Amen.
Why did God give us his commands? Why did he give us, here's the things you should try to incorporate into your life, and here's some things that you should expel from your life. Why did God do that? You know why? Ready? He loved us. You do that with your children. Now, I'm not necessarily for childproof and everything. It doesn't mean you leave like a chainsaw where your two-year-old can pick it up, or a hacksaw or something. You teach them discipline. But if you do that, you know why you do that? Because you love your kids, and there's some thing you don't want them drinking poison. Now, once they turn 14 or 15, you open up the cabinets and you put an orange juice label on it. Okay? I'm kidding. Strike that from the record. You know what? You do those things. Well, mom and dad are just trying to take the fun away from us. No, we don't want you to get hit by a car.
Yeah.
We love you. We want best for you. God, why do we, I don't comprehend how in Christianity we've separated those two. Well, bro, it doesn't matter how I live because, man, it's God's grace. And he just loves me. I'm glad God loved me and he wanted things on this earth to go better for me. Because God knew if I make my own decisions, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
Yep.
See, if I follow my own path, I'm headed for a train wreck.
Yep.
I'm glad that I have God's word to kind of help keep me on the track. And that's expression of his love. Jesus didn't make the distinction between love and obedience. He put them together. Understand this before we go to the next point. Disobedience destroys joy. Obedience allows us to have joy and to experience God's love to the fullest. If you really think it through, would it be, and God could have, by the way, he didn't owe us anything. It really is not as, it wouldn't be loving just to say you're saved now, just go do your thing and I hope it all turns out. He gave us instructions. He gave us principles to live by. Next, we are to continue to live, commit to live in His grace. Acts chapter 13, verse 43. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And again, the grace of God is so misunderstood. You see, God's grace is not just tied to salvation. It's tied to living for Christ on this earth, which is sanctification. This is a biblical word we use. In other words, God saved us by His grace. It had nothing to do with us. But when we live for Him, He gives us His grace to empower us to be able to live for Him. We need His grace. And it's all His. Look, now we have to do things, and I'll explain that on Sunday nights, but He gives us His grace because He loves us, and He helps us as we seek to live by Him, for Him, to have the power to be able to get through this life. And that is His grace. See, when Paul's talking to these new believers, he understood that persecution for them was coming. That was just the next step. In the New Testament, when they got saved, the next step was persecution from the idolaters, from the government, whatever it was. And so he had to admonish them to say, look, I know you're saved and it's the most wonderful thing ever, but persecution's coming your way. Don't let that stop you. Continue to live for God by His grace. And then we'll go through one more and we'll be done. His faith. His faith. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. And he kind of hammers on the same principle that I just mentioned. And that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. You see, we are to continue to live as Christians the life of what we would call the pilgrim life. This isn't our home. Our home's heaven. We're just pilgrims down here. We're ambassadors on this earth. This is not our homeland. Okay, our homeland is heaven. We're really representatives of Jesus Christ on this earth. We're ambassadors. And also the dedicated life. In other words, I'm living for Him. I'm not living for myself. And so God wants us to continue in the faith. How sad is it that it's easier? It's easier for some people in this world who live in countries where it costs them to live for God and be a Christian. It's easier for them to live for the faith than those of us who live in this country who are not persecuted for the faith. Now, I understand that times are a-changing. Okay? You know, we know during COVID, they let bars and other things stay open, but they wanted to shutter the churches. But thankfully, we had a Supreme Court that kind of kept them in line. By the way, in Canada, they're arresting pastors for having church services. But it's funny. I saw their hockey games. They have people in the stands with no mask on. But if you have a church service, you'll go to jail. Okay? But I mean, even that, that's nothing compared with people in this world face when they go to a Muslim country and get saved. You're probably not long for this world. The paradox is, it ought to be easier to live for God here. And yet it's harder. Brother Board said it. Over there, they face it right away. They take it seriously when they decide for Christ. You see, it's just so easy in this country. Our faith has not really been tested. No, Pastor Myers, it was tested. I was coming to church the other day and my car broke down. I know. I'm praying for you. Okay, call Uber. But it seems like the easier it is for us, the easier it is to get tripped up. Yep. Satan uses prosperity a lot more than he does persecution. Yeah. Fact of the matter is, if Satan had a brain, and he is a very crafty, he would realize that persecution fuels the church. Yep. Church was fueled, was persecuted heavily in the New Testament, and guess what? It grew leaps and bounds. Yeah. It's prosperity that messes us up, right? It's when we don't have to back up what we say we believe in our lives. And so it's very important that we continue in the faith. What? We just are dedicated, faithful Christians seeking every day to live what we say we believe in the Scripture. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you again for loving us. We can never thank you enough for that. And I pray, Father, that you would just help us to be the Christians that you would want us to be. Help us, Lord, to serve you and just to be faithful.
Amen.
Till death do us part. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.